Hello and welcome to episode 290, I think, of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Chad and I play Trolls.
This is Colin and I play Signar.
Nigel and I play Kador.
This is Keith and I play Signar.
Sweet. We're here today to talk about War Machine and stuff, like usual. Just like usual. We have Colin.
Yay! Colin, I'm back.
It's been a long time.
You actually played some War Machine, as I understand.
I did.
It.
I played two games in a row, I might add.
Whoa. And then you played one and didn't like hate it and stop.
Oh no, I hated every second. No, I was playing an all shooty list against Nigel's no shooting.
Oh, you playing Vlad 2 again?
Yeah.
You son of a... Oh, this is... We're blowing the doors wide open today.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not supposed to do this because... See, I had the same problem recently, Nigel, and here's where you made the mistake. When someone's coming back to the game, you have to be kind of nice to them.
Uh-huh.
So that you don't, like...
Colin assassinated me with this total bushwhacking, sack shooting bullcrap. Then we played again, and he was like... This was miserable. I was like, God damn it. I was going to like, let's re-rack best of three. And because he won the first game just completely handily. And then.
I don't know.
I didn't realize that the Hurricane has an arc node. And I also didn't realize how kind of trivial the Hurricane can extricate himself from. I played conservatively. So his Hurricane was able to just like walk up, punch a turn you and kill it. And then just be an arc node for a force hammer or whatever on Vlad. And then that was downhill from there. But then after that, I was like, okay, so we're just going to jam up defeated dudes and then make sure that nobody can shoot. And then it was a lot more miserable. Like once I realized where
I mean, I still think I had a chance. I just had to kill like a cav that was in, like, I had to kill two cav that were away from my Hurricane and like in between my Hurricane and your, conquest. And then I think I had a chance, but when I missed both of my, like all of my attacks, like all the attacks that I could put on them, then the game was over.
So
isn't the Hurricane awesome?
Hurricane's really awesome. PAL 24 with NEMA 3 is really good.
What? On its gun?
No, it's fists.
Oh, okay.
He gains plus 2 strength and he's base 22.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so if I have Ragman, there's just PAL 26.
Wait, actually, the Hurricane's base 22? I thought it was 20.
I am pretty sure it's 22.
That's upsetting because the Conquest is 23. And I always thought that was good.
Yeah, it's really upsetting because the Mountain King is 22 if he puts rage on himself.
Hold on. Before we go crazy about this, let me double check. Because it's weird for the Hurricane and the Stormwall to be different.
Oh, no, it's 20, damn.
Whoa, cheater!
No, I never, like, I only did the one charge attack was relevant.
Right. And he punched an armor 15 dude.
And I was, sorry. Yeah, that's so probably why, because I had the plus 2 strength on it.
Okay, all right.
All right. All right, not that crazy. Okay,
you were double counting.
I was double counting.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's pretty common.
But yeah, Jim was also looking at getting back in the game a little bit.
Nice.
And he was bringing out, he's retooling up his Wyrmwood list. I was like, oh, Wyrmwood. Like, I actually just had a recent experience playing against Wyrmwood, and I lost with Haley 2. I kind of wanted to look at that matchup again, so I pulled out my Haley 2, and now I need
dick punched him?
Now I need to talk Jim back off the ledge.
Well, didn't you say you were going to win that game if you weren't on time turns? Like pretty easily?
Yeah, but it was still like close, and I had to make some decisions that I wasn't comfortable with, like basically Hail Marrying to go for a caster. I don't like to do with Haley because I feel like if the game has gone that route, that either you did something wrong or the list was incorrect. Because that's Haley shouldn't have to. She always can, but I don't want to.
Uh-huh.
So I was just looking downstream and I was checking her out with the Hurricane, and my God, the Hurricane, like Haley having slam guns is power, like power 18 slam guns might not be okay.
Yeah. There's a few things that changed on the Hurricane from Mark 2 to Mark 3.
Yeah. Its guns got slam.
Yeah. Like the guns got slam. The, no fly went from 10 to 12.
I'm not sure if that'll ever come up, but if it does, I imagine it'll.
Oh, yeah, it's Tuna's going to come up.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, his fist got an ability. Like, it like slams medium and small base models.
That's the guns.
You sure?
The fists have. I'm not sure they have anything on them. Let me take.
I also thought his guns slammed in the Mark II also, but.
No, they were D3 plus. They were pushes. They were big pushes.
Okay. Yeah.
D3 plus something or D6 pushes. I don't know. It obviously never existed, so I never really had reason to.
Also, anybody listening to this podcast, I like haven't like looked at War Machine since like a month after Mark 3 came out, so like anything I say might vary, but we'll be wrong.
Its fists have cortex damage.
Okay.
We're just happy you're here, Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Cortex damage. So basically what you're saying is once the hurricane comes out, it's going to be the apocalypse?
No, because you just put a flat cloud on it.
You put a flat cloud on, that's it.
And then he's like, oh, derp.
I actually think it's relatively balanced against the Stormwall. Like, Kane 2 still wants the Stormwall.
Yeah.
Because the guns being much longer range on the Stormwall does definitely matter. Because the Hurricane's main guns, the Storm Emitters, are range 12, POW 16. And its secondary batteries are range 14, POW 14, AOE 4. So it's got I guess overall it might be slightly longer range, but it doesn't have those range 14, the range 14, POW 15 monster guns that the Stormwall's got.
But like, there's also casters like Siege who really wants a Hurricane.
Right.
Yeah, because it sort of fills the sometimes I kind of want an arc node, but I don't really want to have a Lancer problem.
Yeah. Also, they're just POW 16 guns versus POW 15, and then also the AOE shots are really strong with Siege.
Or sorry, the cannons are range 14, POW 13. I didn't think they were POW 14. That's did
yeah.
POW 7 blast though.
Yep.
And those AOE 4 guns are also really nice to have in Signar.
Hmm. Yeah, there's not a lot of AOEs in Signar, so also I feel like Signar doesn't deal with stealth quite as well as they used to, but
I mean, no gun mages.
Yeah. So AOE guns is a big deal.
Yeah. So just to give us a little bit more of a structure here to go off of, most of us have played games, I guess, since the last podcast. We took a week off, obviously, for Thanksgiving. But it sounds like, Colin, you got a couple games in. Nigel got a couple games versus you. I got a game against Nigel. So Nigel's really got like...
Mm-hmm. At three versus Josh.
Yeah. Wow.
Nigel's a champ.
You're tuned up, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And were they all Vlad too?
Nope. I played a lot of Kozlov too.
Nice. So we got some stuff to talk about. Before we even get into that, I mean, we've already gotten into that a little bit, but it's never too late to go back. There were some news and announcements. They had a Norquarter release, and there was a half spoiler for a Troll theme force, for one of the Troll theme forces. So I just thought we'd go over that like a little bit. We know what the benefits of this theme force are. We don't know what the actual like restrictions, like the model restrictions are.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously is a very big portion of, you know, whether
it's some relevant information.
It's very relevant. It's very, but the benefits are interesting, and I just wanted to talk about them. Because it kind of gives us, like, I think, a little bit more insight into, you know, their sort of design philosophy with theme forces. Mm-hmm. And I also apologize if I sound weird this week because I am congested. And, my nose is very stuffed up.
I think you sound beautiful.
Oh, Colin, you know exactly the words to say. So the benefits for this theme force are you get plus 2 inches of deployment, just kind of the old flag bearer back. For every 20 points of Long Riders, Champions, or Warders, you get a free command attachment or a medium-based solo. And the interesting one is all warrior models in your army gain takedown, which is really, really interesting. People were kind of freaking out about it and saying that it's terrible because there's a lot of quote-unquote scornergy in that, like, all of the models that you're... If you're intended to take lots of Champions, Warders, and Fenblades... Or, sorry, Long Riders, Champions, and Warders... like, for instance, Champions, they cannot trigger overtake if they have takedown. Because
I thought that's totally true. I thought this was like the opposite of the first thing I thought was like double Tuffalos. And it's amazing because their impact hits are just like, get out of here.
Yeah. Plus for each unit of Tuffalo, you get a free solo because they're 20 points. Like, they're just 20 points like right there. So free solo. So that's like a free fell collar or something like that. But again, we don't know what restrictions there are. There was no fell collar in the list that Hungerford was. I think it was Hungerford. I don't know. Whoever was playing this list in the No Quarter, there was no list. There was no fell collar in their list, so that's a little worrying.
Mm-hmm.
But like
as Tim Simpson demonstrated quite skillfully, PP staff is quite bad. So I don't trust that this battle report was optimal, like, list building.
We just didn't need one.
Yeah,
yeah. Even so, and there's a lot of effects in Troll Bloods that don't trigger when you give everything takedown. But I think, like, there's two ways of looking at it. There's the way of looking at it where you're just like, oh, like, this is Scornergy. Like, we can't basically do everything that we want. We can't remove from play your entire army. Or we can't remove, you know, RFP takedown, like, on every model's melee attack and, like, get all these special extra, you know, takedown, overtake, cleave, et cetera, et cetera. But the other way of looking at it is if you want those things, you can just play them in a normal list and you can just do them anyway. And this gives you kind of an alternative, like, play style. Or an alternative, like, very sort of powerful effect. Because in my mind, like, army-wide takedown it's not always going to matter. Against any army that doesn't have a preponderance of tough or things like self-sack or whatever, or recursion effects, like High Reclaimer's Feet or you know, Cricks or whatever, then obviously that's not going to... It's going to be basically not a, you know, negligible. It's not going to really matter that much. But against those things, it's a huge deal. Like, it's game-changing. It's basically, you know...
Yeah, if you find a list you like, if you can make a tier list that you like, then you have... I mean, Eros 2 is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then be able to just, like... That's a huge deal against Eros 2. And then you also catch Gorton in the splash damage, even the mirror match. And then, yeah...
Plus, I'm not even thinking about, like, there's a lot of stuff that just kind of inadvertently gets, like, caught in the wire. Like, I haven't even fully opened my mind up to it yet. Like, War Beasts, for instance. Mm-hmm. If you take down all War Beasts, then it, like, they don't, you don't get to reave any of that Fury.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they just get RFP'd, like.
Also in Soul Collection, too.
Yeah, in Soul Collection. Just, like, there's tons and tons of stuff. So, like I said, it's not gonna hit every single list, but, like, the lists that it does hit, I think it's gonna be very interesting to see.
Yeah, there's plenty of matchups that it just tips over, right? Like, oh, I can put this Theme Force is good into High Reclaimer.
Yeah,
like,
FU High Reclaimer.
This Theme Force is good into Thagrosh, potentially, as long as it can still crack armor.
Mm. Yeah, Colin?
Are there caster restrictions to these Theme Forces, or how do they, like, I guess I don't know how they work quite.
I'm not sure how they work yet either. I don't know. Well, Keith, do you know the Merc caster restrictions off the top of your head? Like,
It looks like some of them are going to be for sure. Usually in a thematic way, like the Mercenary Theme Force is Kingmakers. It's a Magnus initiative, so it's restricted to Magnus allied casters. It's like the Magnuses, Bart, Damiano, and McBain, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So
it wouldn't surprise me to see the casters sectioned off thematically.
Right. So there's going to be a small listing of casters that you can take, and then. Okay. Within that listing of casters, it's going to be like you're going to be. It's still the same sort of restrictions on units and stuff as it was before, where it'll say like, you can only take these units, and you can only take these solos.
Yeah.
In general, it's much less sort of restrictive than it used to be.
Okay.
And the only other restriction, like not even really a restriction, the only other guideline there is that it's kind of encouraging you to take lots of champions and warders and long riders.
Yeah.
Because for every 20 points, you get a free model. But again, like it's free points, which is kind of worrying a little bit, but it's a very restrictive amount of free points. It's not the, you know, 11 free points of Elemental Evolution. It's, you know, at most you can get like 15 free points, which would have been 7 in Mark II, and that will greatly skew your list towards one specific like type of build, which is not necessarily good.
I like the idea just because there's in playing Mark III games, I kind of miss, like, there's always a few solos that I just can't fit in the list because solos are so expensive.
Yeah.
And so Theme Force is bringing you free solos and weapon attachments and stuff. That's like a huge deal. And that's like, it brings it a little bit of Mark II back into the game, which is, I think, what the game really needs.
I'm curious whether or not, like, how many different Theme Forces there will be if they kind of cast a wide enough net. If we'll be in a place where every single list is a Theme Force, which is something I'm kind of worried about, but I'm also not. It's not necessarily that I'm not sure whether I should be worried about it or whether I should just kind of accept that that's just the new way things are going to be and that that's okay.
I mean, it depends on if it breaks down into like three or four Theme Forces, or like two Theme Forces from every army,
right?
Then it's a bad thing. But if it's like each faction's taking six different Theme Forces, then who cares? Like,
right.
Then I think the Theme Forces are just good and balanced.
Or yeah, like if you're saying that there's like essentially like six viable Theme Forces, and then, but I think it's cool too if all of the Theme Forces do something like this one did, where there is a noticeable, you know, okay, you have this, you're giving up this penalty to play this Theme Force, but you're gaining this like weird sort of niche bonus.
Yeah.
If they all have some kind of aspect like that, then it actually just like increases the amount of options and the amount of variety that, you know, we might see. And as long as none of them are just blatantly.
Also, just Theme Forces having different casters in general is just going to change it up so much to where it's not going to get boring. Like in Mark II, that was a big problem, was whenever you saw Runes of War, you knew what caster it was.
Right.
Like, but if that was like got to change up between all the Doomies or like something like would have made it a lot more entertaining.
It would have been certainly. My worry is just that like eventually people will determine like an optimal, you know, like this is the way to do it. And if you're going to play any other list, but it still gives people the option to.
I think they're vague enough that you'll have, for example, the Kingmakers. Yeah. There's like a Magnus version of it, and there's a clearly a Bart version of it, and there's clearly a McBain, and like none of them. They all seem pretty like entertaining or playable or different, you know. So that'll be cool. The thing about this one, now that we've played Infinity a lot, and there's Infinity, you have Vanilla, which is just like standard. Then you have Sectorials, which are tierless. I don't know if War Machine captures the same dynamic. Because like in tournament play, it's a very tough argument in Infinity if Vanilla is the way to go in like competitive play. Because it gives you all the options and you don't lose out on, you know, you, there's a few, you don't get to take fire teams, which are very powerful. But the lack of limitations on your list building lets you be so flexible that you can accommodate any scenario, and it's so valuable that that's what people play. And in like an Infinity, it's almost this perfect like razor balance, and people kind of lean a little bit. People favor Vanilla more than Tierless.
Yeah.
Whereas in War Machine, it's always been, as soon as Tierless were viable, it was like the thing you played.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just the bonus. They just went nuts with the bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always look at the tier list that people never played, because there were ones in War Machine Mark II at least that were just complete garbage that you never ever saw a single time. And it's like obviously it was very obvious why that was the case, because those Steam Forces had garbage restrictions or garbage bonuses.
Yep.
But if they open them up widely like they are now, and they bring the bonuses back, like they have to scale the bonuses way back, then I think that they could make a much more fine balance.
The troll one's the first one where I'm like, to me, that's what I wanted to see. Like, takedown on every, you know, cool things.
It's not without its downsides.
Yeah, especially because the only thing that we've mentioned is heavy troops. Like that, we haven't seen like Creel Warriors be on that list.
We don't even know. I mean, well, we know that we know what he took in his list, so I can pull that up.
Okay.
If my phone cooperates.
But like the big bonuses are for Warders, Champions, and Tuflos.
Yeah, so he can take Fenblades. His list was Horgul, two Pyre Trolls, a Mauler, Champions with a free Scaldi, minimum Creelstone, full Long Riders, minimum Fenblades, minimum Warders, Horthal, and a free Champion Hero, which sounds like a garbage list. I bet I can build a way better list than that. But we know that they can take Champion, or we can know that they can take Fenblades, which is like something else that people were complaining about, because they're like, you know, well, why would I ever take the Fenblade UA now with this list? Even though I can get it for free, it's worthless because it doesn't, you know, they can't use cleave if they have takedown, you know. Mm-hmm. So they get their mini feet, but they don't get cleave, which is like arguably one of the big benefits of. But I'm just like, yeah, that's true. Like, you don't, you know, there's a very minor, like, the benefit of taking the theme, of the command attachment for the Fenblades is much more reduced in this theme list. But, arguably, they serve a different purpose now.
Yeah, and you don't need the UA. So then you could just take the regular dudes and be cool.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, the UA still does something, too. It's still like, no quarter is very good.
Oh, holy crap, yeah. And then they get plus, they get plus 2 inches of movement, right? That's what
They just don't get cleave, which is
a bunch of goobs.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
You know what's better than cleave? Is just killing the guy when you attack him.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, I would be very interested if more of the theme, if all of the theme forces did something like this, where it's like, you got a sweet benefit, but you had this, like, kind of, like drawback to it.
Mm.
Or there was, you know, kind of like a little bit of a give and take, which the Magnus one or the Kingmakers is makes me a little bit wary of that, just because like their army wide benefit is Feign Death, which obviously there's really no downside to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just good. And you kind of go into problem territories when you approach the bonuses that are just like, okay, that's just strictly better than not taking the theme force. So, you know, what point is there to not, you know. Like, the question becomes exactly like you were saying for Infinity. Like, what's the purpose of not doing this if I just get, you know, if it's just better? But I think the answer for that one is specifically, you know, you're restricted in your units quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if there's... Keith, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about? I think we were kind of talking over you a little bit.
I didn't have like a full topic or anything.
No, I meant for that. Did you have anything else to comment on for this?
Oh, no.
gotcha. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because you get like 10, like for this list, at least, you know, it's like 10 free points, plus 2 inches of deployment, and then takedown. Mm-hmm. You know, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
And we know Horgul is the only available caster we know.
Yeah, that was the list that they played, had Horgul.
But it seems likely, given the build of the list, that it's going to be a lot of the main army components, like Grissel and Borka, Madrak, probably.
Probably. That's my guess. So it's kind of the meat and potatoes of the Trollblood army, is what they're...
Well, it's the heavy infantry, and with the heavy infantry, you wouldn't expect to see, like, Jarl and Kalandra.
Yeah, probably. right.
Each forces book isn't going to just have one tier list, right? That's going to have, like, three?
Oh, they're not in the forces
book,
right? At all.
The forces book won't have any at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the army books that are coming out. Right?
Yeah, there's a theme force book.
Yeah, the theme force book. But it's going to have, like, three, right? Not just one?
Yeah, it's going to have multiples. We don't know how many.
Okay, because this one, I was, like, kind of questioning. I can't remember. Horgul's a Northkin, right?
No.
Or no? Okay, because I was like, if it's Bork, like, I think Borka would be Northkin dudes or whatever. I don't know.
There's definitely going to be a Northkin one.
Yeah.
And I'm basing that entirely off of Skaldi's. He grants Northkin to his unit of champions, which right now does literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay.
Okay.
So my guess is that there will be some theme force that restricts you to taking Northkin things.
Yeah.
And there's probably going to be more Northkin things on the horizon. But, I mean, it's an interesting list just because, like, I think that just going off of Horgul, like, something I hadn't considered with Horgul, who I've been playing a little bit more. I played my game versus you with Horgul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm liking him more the more I think about him and the more I play him. He's interesting.
He's a bastard. I was not thrilled to see solid ground. Like, who needs more solid ground?
Yeah. Well, the thing that I've been focusing the most on is the Inviolable Resolve Mountain King, which has been good. Mm-hmm. And I certainly like it. And it might even be to the point of auto-include, but I want to try and experiment a little bit with Armor 21 Long Riders.
Mm-hmm.
That seems really good.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, Warders in Mark II, they were Armor 21 effectively, like, after they got shot for the first time. And, you know, had 8 HP, and they were, like, legendarily, like, bastardly to kill. And Long Riders can just do that all the time now.
Yeah.
If you put Inviolable Resolve on them as a unit, and then they have this, you know, big threat range, and they're still, you can't really ignore them, and they're hard as F to kill. And
have you started playing with them with the 1-inch melee range, Chad?
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
I'm curious to see how, because I haven't really talked to anyone that's played any 1-inch cav yet, because I keep either talking to Josh or talking to you and be like, yeah, like maybe, because the min packs of Stormlances have been so good that maybe the Steelhead Cav, they're probably not as good, but they might still be really good. And I'm just curious to see what comes back from that.
My big worry with the Long Riders is just that they don't have a gun.
Right.
So they really have to double down, like, and get all that work done in melee, and then, you know, they're obviously not going to get as much you don't get as much work out of reposition as you do when you just kind of...
Yeah, I haven't been getting a lot of work done with guns lately. Mostly what the Cav have been doing is just sort of, like, basically running feigning maneuvers for the first two-thirds of a game until they come in and, like, clean up in the end.
Well, that's what I'm hopeful for with Armor 21 Cav, because you can't really ignore it. Like, you just can't ignore them. And then they're going to be sons of bitches to kill. And they'll be able to do the same thing that Warders used to do, where they don't have to be in base to base with each other. You know, their armor is going to be, not really restricted. Like,
yeah.
So they can just kind of spread out. It might be tough to get them all in the Creel Stone, I guess.
I think you can extrapolate, like, if you take what my Ulan's been doing.
Yeah.
You're just doing what they do all the time.
Right.
Like, and that's got to be good. Like, it's got to 100% be.
Right.
Yeah. Because the Ulan's, I get them to armor 22. With the feet turn.
Right.
And then, like, they're immune to knockdown aren't with only 5 wounds. And it, like, blows people up. They, like, you jam them and then they lose their crap.
They're really hard to kill.
Yeah. But, yeah, you have these tough lows that are very similar.
It was actually your game that actually made me kind of... I was like, yeah, oh, man. Like, I can do armor 21 all the time with 8 HP.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can make an argument because of Vlad's feet turn, but I would say Long Riders are a little bit better than Ulan.
Because like, it's just exactly. turn in, turn out, they're always good.
Yeah.
And they fight standing better, you know.
Yeah.
And they're very frustrating. Like, once they get glued onto you, and they can reform and reform and reform, you know, move up, make attacks, reform deeper in, and, you know, they're basically, like, getting cooties, and you're just sort of, like, trying to furiously wipe them off you, and you can't. Yeah, they can be really frustrating.
Yeah.
And I think the 1-inch reach is, like, with Ulans, they have 1-inch reach, which is better than half-inch reach. They got an upgrade. And even with crappy POW 10 and POW 12s, it's, like, it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Losing the 2-inch reach is definitely... it's going to be a pill to swallow the first time I like can't make the first time I'm just barely out like of 1 inches of 1 inch of something and I'm just like, argh! You know. But I don't know when you think about it, when I think about it in aggregate, and it's just like, well, their threat range just went from 12 inches to 11 inches. Like, that's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Like, and when they're dug in, like, how often when you're dug in, like, does that 2-inch reach, like, really make that big of a difference? Like, you can still usually get to what you want. Yeah. The only time is when you're, like, reaching over something, like, to hit something in the way back. Like,
yep.
I don't know.
They don't have practice maneuvers, though, right?
No.
So that does kind of suck, but.
Yeah, but they don't need to be in base-to-base like Ulans do.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I'm just talking about, like, it's easier to have, like, a little gap and then have that guy in the back chipping in, you know, with you know.
Yeah.
You won't be able to get those. You'd really need to get guys out of the way for yourself so you don't get in there.
Yep, yep.
Hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be actually pretty hard to gang up on one target, though.
It depends on a lot of things, but you might be right.
Yeah. You'll get 3 or 4 on a large target, which is more than enough to do a ton of damage. Because it's put POW 14 mount and then POW 14
charge.
And you can still take, like, Lindisa Rissel. Like, most big things they'd want to charge. So she can still get them up to a 13-inch threat. And then,
Yeah, the big... I feel like the big coup de grace for the Long Riders was just losing the ability to put Flaming Fists on them. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, that's crying over spoiled Flaming Fists. So, do you guys want to talk about your game at all? Your games?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you kind of already went into the...
Yeah, I wish we would have played a third game. Colin was sort of disenchanted with War Machine in general.
Well, after I was literally there to play Guild Ball.
Yeah.
And do my...
He roped you in?
My League Guild Ball game. But I would play... We got there a little early, so I would play a game with Nigel. That game ended pretty fast, so then...
So we re-racked and played another one.
Yeah.
And then... also, the re-racks have been great. I also kind of wish we got to re-rack, like, our game.
Yeah, I really would have liked that, actually.
Because, like,
we both learned some stuff.
Yeah, we're all playing stuff that's, like, it's hard to conceptualize, like, the game. It's, like, really weird.
Well, so we can start out with our game, I guess, and then you guys can move into your games if you want. You were playing Vlad 2, and I was playing Horgul 2.
Yep.
And we just kind of sat down for a fun game. And you realized about halfway through the game that Windblast had changed from the way that we remember it being in Mark II. I don't know if it actually was this way in Mark II, but the way I remember
it... It was definitely not this way in Mark II.
The way I remember it was that it was, you know, you place a 5-inch cloud, or you place a 5-inch ring, or whatever, a 5-inch AoE. Any clouds touching in the AoE get removed, and then anything that's inside the AoE suffered -2 or -3 to its rat.
-2 rat, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember it. And now it's just you can't, if you're touching the ring... So it still removes the clouds. It also got reduced in cost to 2, I think. Or maybe it was always 2.
Yeah, I think it was always 2, but I swear to crap, it was either an upkeep or you can only cast it once.
No, you could cast it multiple times.
I don't, but, like, I've literally never done that.
I guess the difference is that he has great power now.
Yeah.
So with great power and...
Wish Nailer,
he can have a full stack of 7, you know, or at least a 6 stack and upkeep 3 spells. Like,
yep.
Which is nuts. But he can cast it a number of times, and then now the big difference is when you're touching the ring, you cannot make any ranged attacks at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just models inside of the ring, like inside of the wind blast, like can't make ranged attacks, which you realized about halfway through the game. And I had a Mountain King that was really desperately needing to make ranged attacks, and it turns out when you can put down these 5-inch pie plates down on the table wherever you want, like Vlad can actually be fairly far forward and be pretty protected from all of my guns. Because there was a forest that my bomber was having trouble seeing through, and then you could basically just like strategically place the wind blast where like, also it helps that my guys have such low range that it's like, okay, so if I want to walk forward to get in range to shoot you, then I have to be within range of this wind blast, and that means I can't shoot at all, so I might as well stay back here. But then I'm not making any forward ground, which means I'm having to send my ranged guys into melee, which just sucks.
Yep.
So it was really good, is my point.
Yep.
And we were talking about it on the forums, and I got my very favorite response back, which is, you know, I'm saying, like, yeah, I played against it, and it's really good. He did all of these things, and it was, like, causing me all these problems. And then, you know, the very first response is, you know, like, well, it doesn't actually – it's not as good as you think it is.
It was driving me nuts. I'm seriously – I was just like – because also I was expounding on it, and I was like, I would take – the thing I learned in our game is that a Colden Lord would have really blown it out. It would have made it very
– What's that guy do?
He has a 9-inch command where he has cast a spell, and you can't shoot. Wait. A 9-inch zone of no shooting.
You didn't even have to play against a Colden Lord?
Yeah, so I added him to my list against Colin, and it was like 100% the apocalypse. It was like 100. It was, so on the forums, I speculated, based on what I played against Chad, I think that this is going to be good. And everybody's like, I'd just back up and shoot him. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you won't. And then they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then like sometimes they don't even know math. They're like, my Colossal walks 5. Yeah, his base is, that's not enough.
Yeah,
you need to walk 6
inside.
Or so.
Yeah.
You goob. But anyways, and then so against Colin, the first game we played, I put him down at the AoEs, And again, he had his Hurricane has an arc node, so he was able to just kind of move up. I stopped the shooting entirely, and it was, you know, it was Colin was a little peeved.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
It was basically because all of my guns were range 10, except for Nemo, who is range control, which is 14.
Uh-huh.
And so all of my range 10 guns couldn't shoot, just period.
Right.
He's not range control anymore, Colin. He might be. I think he's just range control. 14.
No, he's range control.
Oh, he is still range control. Oh, yeah, he lost his control increaser. That's
yeah. Right. Yeah, which is really stupid. Why isn't it just range 14? Oh, Squire, that's why. And I also forgot the Squire. But anyway, like, so then basically Nemo was the only gun that was actually going to be able to shoot. So I literally just had the slam, hope I don't slam him too far, but he had guys behind him. He had guys behind him, so he was going to stop, so I thought I'd be fine. And then also, since I forgot to pre-measuring's a thing now. I could have just pre-measured that. But then I walked up and just took my feeted shot on him, and then that was enough to kill him.
Nice. But
then round two happened.
Yeah, round two. And then also this is the re-rack. So I guess with Chad, it would have been good because I think Chad learned. I frustrated Chad, but I didn't play well enough to take advantage of it. Like, mm-hmm. I threw it out, and then when you did your turn, you were clearly frustrated. Yeah. But I didn't have enough to push the advantage. Like, you fought your way out of it.
Right.
And then, but then I thought, if we replayed, did I learn enough to have an even better? But I had to change my list probably. But then with Colin, I was like, I'm going to go to the drawing board.
Well, I think my advantage was in my list build, kind of countered your list build in that I had a big problem piece that you only had a certain number of models that could properly, take care of it, deal with it. You know, my armor 23 Mountain King was going to be a problem for you unless you are sending guys in on your feet turn or you're sending in your weapon masters. And so I was just if I can just control sort of those elements enough, and you feeded to come in to the zone and everything, but you avoided my Mountain King entirely, which is kind of the thing that I've noticed. I've only played two games with Horgul 2 now, but what I've noticed is that when you put Inviolable Resolve on him, people just don't attack him at all.
Yeah,
which is great. So I mean, that's a good spell, you know.
Yeah, and also because if you the Mountain King is one of those guys, chipping away is really demoralizing because he makes whelps,
right. and then he heals back up,
and it's you have to do 4 to 6 damage per hit guaranteed, and then when he gets 3 of it back, it's super crushing.
Yeah,
he gets
3 of it back for each guy, each whelp he makes, and then he gets 3 back for each guy he kills in melee too.
Yep.
So.
And then you're hitting with such high value resource attacks just to get over that hump. That's just it's not worth even bothering. So then,
or you
just
take Alton Ashley.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah. But he still makes. Oh no, yeah, he still makes the wells. He just doesn't eat them.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But he has literally no way of killing Alton Ashley ever because you can shoot him from 14 inches away and then back up 3,
or just put a Colden Lord somewhere in the area.
Oh my God, you son of a bitch!
Yeah. So the second game against Colin, I used the secret Colden Lord tech. I feeded, which also the miserable thing about Vlad is the random. So against both games, I rolled 4 dudes. So I was like, God dang.
No, you rolled max in my game.
I rolled max in your game. In my Colin games, I rolled 4.
Oh, in both.
And so I just had to really make tough, really bad choices. But in the second game, I'm like, screw it. I'm giving the Colden Lord. And he just walked 12, walked up behind this huge rock that Nick put in the middle of the table so he couldn't be seen.
Yeah,
and
that was also another. I'm never letting Nick do that again. That compounded the problem a million times.
Well, also, he's def 17 at that point.
Def 16. Yeah, Death 16 armor, 18 or whatever he is, or 17. And so he's a really tough guy to deal with behind a rock that can't be seen. And then I got the clouds even deeper.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, it was. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And then that was grindier, so I just had enough juice to, grind Colin down. And
oh, my God, that's really freaking annoying. Because one of the things that was, more than shutting down my Mountain King and my bomber shooting, I was getting frustrated that my Fire Eaters couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of that unit is, they charge in and they're just, they light the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was, having to, do these, weird, janky, off-the-corner, charges and, these. And then, just charging them in with melee, which just, sucks. That just feels really bad.
Yeah. Yep. Also, the change I made in Collins is I took the Behemoth and the Marauder out, and I just put in a Conquest. And so when I feet, take away all the shooting, and then jam you with feeted models, and then the Conquest is right up there.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah. That was the big. And so Colin, in the second game, he was basically saying, if I killed these two models, I could have got to your Conquest. But that was part of the problem is, you can't shoot them, and you only get a couple. You really limit the amount of crap you can
do.
Well, so I was able to shoot. I got all the guns that I wanted to get. Shots off of,
yeah,
because he jammed the other guns that I couldn't do anything about, and so because I have Thunderhead in my list, So Thunderhead pulsed and cleared the two cav that were in, like, with my Hurricane. And then, like, he has, like, two more shots, and I, like, missed. Or I had one boosted shot, and I missed on, like, one of the cav that was, like, 10 inches in front. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of, like, Nemo shot, and then, like, some other stuff that happened, and I just missed all of my shots. And then, so, like, and they were def 15. Those ones were 15.
They were def 18.
The ones you jammed me with were def 18.
Mm-hmm.
But those were just Thunderhead pulsed.
Mm-hmm.
But the two in between, in the middle of the field, between the Hurricane and Conquest were def 15.
Okay.
Which I still need 10s with Nemo. Or yeah. No. I need 9s, but still. But and I needed that to go. If Nemo hits, they should die.
Mm-hmm.
But
does he still lightning generate?
You mean arc?
Like, yeah, like it bounces D3 times.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
But you can't boost the bounces anymore.
Okay. It's still three dice. Three dice.
Oh, your feet. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's but kind of like boosting it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But, yeah. Nemo's, it's not, he's not as good as he was in Mark 2.
Yeah.
Nemo 3.
There are aspects of him that was interesting. Like, the focus efficiency was off the charts.
Because but, yeah, I agree. But the problem is the, I don't think I can, at least my old list doesn't work. Because, one, I'm missing a junior, which sucks.
Yeah, that guy's pretty important.
Yeah. And then, like, also, I think I have to play the Cav. Like, I have to play Storm Lances. Otherwise.
I mean, that's not really a downside, though.
Well, it just changes the list entirely. It used to just be all Jacks.
And oh, sure.
I was like, that's going to translate perfectly into Mark III. Yeah. But it really doesn't because I miss all the solos. So there's a lot of solos in my list.
Right.
And they're just all gone.
So were you trying to play a version of that old that Mark II list where it's just like...
It was his theme force, yeah.
Okay, where it's just like literally like every lightning shot like on the table.
Yep.
And you can just blow something up. Like, mm-hmm.
Well, I honestly wanted to play against the like 9 berserkers or 10 berserkers or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen.
Son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. Nigel, you just rope-a-doping everyone.
Our game with like the Horgel game got me like, I was like, there's something to Vlad. Like, there's some... Yeah.
Yeah, he's very
well, the
good.
Thing that was really... The thing that really... kind of turned my eye, like opened my eyes was there was the turn where you realized that he had that wind blast like changed and we were talking about it beforehand and you were kind of like, well, what are you thinking about doing this turn? Like, how are you feeling? Cause I'm not feeling like, I'm not sure how I'm feeling mm-hmm. about our game. And we were just kind of talking candidly about like, okay, about our strategy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I feel, you know, I was kind of frustrated because you out threat me in melee, like, and your feet's really like dangerous and I have to stay back, but I have all these guns so I can shoot you and shoot you and shoot you and you have to kind of come in. And then I was like, and so I'm, you know, I'm relatively confident that like, you know, you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that. And I'm pretty sure that I can keep Vlad pushed back because I think if he moves up that I can just kill him. And you were like, yeah, I agree. And then you looked down at your car and you were like, oh, wait. And you just like walked like super far forward, like where I should have easily been able to kill you. And you dropped all these wind clouds, these wind blasts. And I'm just like, and then I'm just like looking at the table, like I should like, he moved so far forward. I should just be able to kill him, but I just can't. Like there was just no angle where any of my guys could like get to you or shoot you. Or,
yeah, if those clouds didn't exist, you would have had a CRA from the unit, and then the bomber probably could have manufactured a shot.
Yeah,
and then you would also have got a kill shot. You would have been like walk up, kill a cav, kill shot, then shoot.
I would have done that first, and then like got like the -2 on him.
Yep.
And then probably you know, and then some. So I would have tried to light him on fire with the bomber or something like
that. And then my thinking when I did it was like, I can take the Mountain King completely out of play. So I don't have to, and once I don't have to worry about the two sprays, and I can probably remove the bomber. And I thought you could like slip away and still get me with the CRA. But Vlad, one of his other changes is that as long as I'm camping like one focus, if you ever hurt me, he just gets 2 armor for the rest of the game.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So he's kind of resilient against like, you know, rinky dinks. Like he gets armor 18 pretty quick, and then he's just that for the rest of the game. It's kind of interesting.
Is it 18 or is it even? No, it's 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty, like, I think you're right. I think he's got something.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it was good. I'm glad we played. I would definitely like to re-erect sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Horgel's good. Like, the more I play him, the more I, you know.
I really liked Horgel, just the way he played. I thought he was cool.
Yeah, he's cool. And there was a couple of things that I was just, those Ulans were very, very frustrating. And that forest was very frustrating, like, right in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, but Bushwhackers continue to impress me, too.
Bushwhackers are always,
yeah. They didn't really do, like, because you made a couple of tough checks, but... I got, like, at first, it was like, I got a lucky drift, and then your tough checks kind of canceled it out.
Yeah.
But even so, like, if you hadn't made those, then I would have been just, like, super value on them. The unfortunate thing was that you had, like, the perfect answer with your Turnian Cav.
Mm-hmm. The feat of Turnian Cav. Yeah. Yep.
The Hand of Fate was the big... That spell's just not okay. I hate that spell.
Yeah, yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, seeing Menoth with it is really frustrating, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like that hot ex-girlfriend who's like dating Tom Brady now, and you're just like, screw you.
Oh, man. Yeah, Armor 23 Mountain King's really good, though. And then his feat's like... I didn't even use his feat, but that's something I could have done like much better in our game. Is I think I could have used his feat and then gotten some, because I kept saving it. I was like, I got to save it for the behemoth, but like I didn't need to.
Yeah.
Like I had a mountain king, you know, and I was worried about the behemoth getting through the like cracking the mountain king's armor. But like once you actually do the math, it's just like he has actually no chance.
Yeah, you could have feated. I mean, you actually killed the one thing that impressed me is you killed everything anyways. Like I jammed you with Ulans that were feated on. And your bomber, because he couldn't make shots, just walked over and killed two guys. I was like, oh, damn it.
Matt, six bombers are the nuts. I'm so happy for that change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That was rude.
So, yeah, game's fun when you play it and you don't play against, you know.
The D-bags.
Yeah, the D-bags. The problem lists.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably still fun even if you do because it's a unique challenge. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to.
The other thing, a couple revelations. And also why Tufflo's and also for Colin, his cavalry. Just cavalry's back. Like, Ulans are good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure all the cavalry's good.
We've been saying that for a while now.
I'm pretty sure the Merc cavalry is plenty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we have been saying it, but it still shocks me. Like, the more I play, the more I keep using Ulans and then being more and more of a pain in the butt with Ulans. Like, and also with Turnian Cav, because one of the things the Kolden Lord list does that's really weird is he gives all Turnians Battle Wizard. And so when I feed on them, they become like mat 8 with boosted attacks, their pal 13, and magic weapons. And so they'll like kill a dude and then battle wizard, and it's all hand of fated. Like, is the like that Kolden Lord who's just walking up to create a zone of no shooting, then creates this like
sweet battle wizard death zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's actually awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool. But yeah, cavalry's gross. Like, and then just the 5-inch reposition and the 3-inch, like that whole list. Because that like the Vlad list now is conquest and then 2 units of cav. And then some random crap.
That seems way better.
Yeah, and it all repositions, and it's just a huge pain in the butt to pin down and does a lot of stuff. And
this is your Vlad 2 list?
Yeah. And then I think I've got, in my current, after Colin, I made some even more changes. I added eliminators to it. And
God damn it.
It's super gross now, because the eliminators, the first thing is that I can use each cavalry unit in case they get in trouble. I have a unit of eliminators kind of like walking around behind them, and they'll just hop over and kill whatever, and then, you know, sidestep out of the way.
Yeah.
And then that's 100% worked in my game so far. But also, the new rules on LOS is so broken that they're always just charging in people's butt, so they're mat 11.
As long as they don't charge through the model entirely.
Yeah.
They can go... Yeah.
Yep. And then they really get into weird places now.
That rule, we should mention that, I guess. So there was a clarification, or it was either... I think it was just a clarification on LOS, where that... LOS it kind of works the same as ranged attacks in that, melee range is what I'm talking about. There was a clarification on melee range in that melee range kind of works like ranged attacks in that you measure melee range just from your base. And that means that essentially every model has a 360-degree melee range. So if you have a 2-inch reach weapon, you know, everything within 2 inches of you is within your melee range. Now, you can only make attacks against models in your front arc.
And you only engage models in your front arc.
Correct. And you only engage models in your front arc, but everything within 2 inches of you is within your melee range.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the same as like for a model with guns, like everything within 12 inches of you is within your ranged attack range. And yeah, you can only make attacks against the things that you can, you know, see in your front arc, and et cetera, et cetera. But at first, I was like, that's really weird. Because the significant changes to that are that you can now charge like way past a model, whereas before there was always this really weird janky measurement that people would make where they're like, you know, well, no, like because you have to always be facing the direction you're moving, and you cannot like never leave a model, you know, a model that you're charging has to once it enters your melee range, it has to stay in your melee range, and since your melee range is only this like semicircle, you know, and your model basically can't like ever charge past it and then turn around. And that's just not the case in Mark III because that's not the way melee range works anymore. So you can charge way past the model as long as they're, you know, if you have 2 inches reach, like as long as you never get more than 2 inches away from them, you can just turn around which means that you can like charge at these really weird oblique angles and then turn like almost like 300 or almost like 180 degrees around and like look back at them. You know?
Yeah. People have had, I think it's brilliant and I love it.
Yeah. No, I, after playing with it, like, and then after like thinking about it more, I was just like, no, that's actually just better because it's simpler. It's, and like that, like, having to explain that like stupid interaction to new players.
Yeah. The number of times that you have to stop someone when they were charging and be like, no, you went a little bit too far. And they'd be like, what do you mean? Like, ugh, I hate this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just better.
Yep.
And so, it's a nice small improvement for the acrobatic and the acrobatics models who can now charge directly over you.
Well, they can't
not strikes. Not directly, right. But as long as they're a quarter of a millimeter off center, they can charge basically right over top of you.
Right. And what we're referring is, I guess that was clarified as well in the thread, is that like, if you're acrobatics, you can't occupy a space that's where your model is entirely within their model. Because that will provoke a free strike.
Mm-hmm.
Or not a free strike, I guess, because they have their acrobatics. But you just can't do that.
It's because if your model completely eclipses theirs, they're no longer in your melee. So,
Yeah.
Okay. So that it's just kind of a cute little geometry thing.
Yeah.
So as long as you're just like slightly off.
Yeah. That's
almost impossible, like mathematically impossible to occupy the exact same space, but.
Unless you are a larger base than what you're charging.
Yeah, right. I guess.
Yeah, so like a small base could charge like directly through the middle of a large base.
And right.
Yeah. Mm. But now they have to go like, kind of go off to the side. But you can still like, you know, get like 90% of your base over there or whatever.
Yep.
And they can obviously just like walk over, because then there's no restriction when you're walking that your melee range has to be within, you know, that models have to be within your melee range or whatever. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But now Chaos Assassins can pretty easily get their backstab bonus on their mini feet turn.
Yeah, the problem is they don't have acrobatics, so not necessarily. Well,
I thought acrobatics was their mini feat.
No, their mini feat is that they get weapon master against buttholes.
Oh, they can still pretty easily get backstrikes with this rule, but
they can. Yeah, they just put like a walking or like a weird. It's a weird. Yeah, but eliminators are gross, especially with Malakov, where they just become weapon masters.
I imagine there's no way an eliminator. Like, I imagine every single attack an eliminator makes from now on will always be a backstrike.
All like, so the three games after I adjusted, and so against Colin and Joey, that's all they did literally every game.
Yeah, super frustrating, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. If eliminators weren't good enough already.
Also, right? Like when it happened, I was like, wait, what are you doing? Because I didn't know the rule, and then right. I was like, whoa, this is painful. Oh, yeah. This is actually painful.
Not the thing you want to spring on the person that we're trying to get back into the game.
Yeah,
Nigel.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
God,
like,
damn it.
After playing Chad, I was like, I got to get into the little dojo and make some tweaks. And then, yeah, Colin.
I'm actually I've been playing Infinity, so I'm actually kind of pretty immune to that stuff at this point.
Oh,
and
okay.
Infinity with Chris, by the way.
Yeah.
Hard
mode.
Yeah, he'll get you. Yeah, no, the games are good, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I will continue playing.
Mm-hmm. That's good news. You're playing Signar?
Yeah, I actually want to trade them for Trolls.
Yeah! Is it because of Horgul?
Well, no.
Cool.
I mean, well, yeah. They like their models are more beautiful, and that's what I care about more now.
Yeah.
Also, like, I'm super hoping Madrak 2 just turns back into Madrak 2 for Mark 2, and then I would be like so excited and like so ready to like play Trolls.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
that would be cool if he doesn't get destroyed from orbit.
Oh my god, it'd be so hilarious if they gave him takedown. the rage.
Yeah, that would be frustrating. Then he would have an entirely useless rule on his card.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
you mean his feet?
No, Wrathrak's Awakening would never trigger.
Oh yeah.
Like, which is what people have, you know. If Madrak 2 is one of the eligible casters for this theme force, then it's like hilarious.
Yeah,
because he just doesn't have a feat.
Or well, no, he has a feat. Like, he is the feat.
No, he can't do that either.
Yeah, he can't overtake.
He's not a unit.
It's warrior models.
Oh, it's warrior models?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It still works on his war beasts.
That's true.
Ooh.
That's true. You can still get the Moog Chopper all up in there.
Yeah, that would actually be very strange for him to be one of the casters now.
So it's basically it's confirmed at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're back in the game, or at least you're tentatively, you're cautiously feeling it out.
Yeah, we'll give it till Captain Con.
Yeah.
I mean, the real reason why I still have my Signar currently is because I couldn't fit them in your car on the way to War Machine Weekend
to sell.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have them for the next 2 months. I might as well use them.
How much of your Trolls did you sell?
Basically all of it.
And you want to get back in? I told you not to sell them, Colin.
Well, no, it's not. If I had to choose between the two, I was going to sell something there, and I didn't have my Signar on hand.
Okay.
And it was like this: the trolls were already shipped to War Machine Weekend.
I guess you get
to
paint all new trolls now, which is the whole.
Yeah, I mean, I liked my trolls that I had painted.
I did too. Yeah. Apparently, someone else did as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all I got for today. I don't know. Do you guys have anything else on the docket that you want to talk about?
Yeah, it's too bad Josh isn't here because he played a lot of Gorton games. Gorton. And
did he do any? Did he Gorton you in any ways that impressed you?
I was playing Kozlov.
Okay.
And then I'm now not playing Kozlov. So that's essentially that's what I learned.
He's not even like Malakov level. Like
he's like way mean potato. He's way too basic.
It's just the thought I always got when I looked at him was just like, why not just play Butcher, right?
Or just anybody.
Yeah.
Just literally anybody. Like he's one of those casters who he takes stuff that like Iron Flesh or Fury makes these guys hit hard, and Iron Flesh makes these guys hit or, you know, survive and blah, blah. But all those guys are just better with other people. Like, you know, it ends up being like he's just a really poopy buff bot.
He's just Magoo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got plenty of that in Signar.
Yep.
Yeah.
# Striker 1.
It's just kind of.
Well, Striker 1 is even like sometimes you're like, oh, God, this like these things would just be better with Striker 1.
Oh, yeah.
I've been looking at Jarl with that same sort of, like, because people keep asking me, they're like, what do you think of Jarl nowadays? And I'm just like, I don't really know, I'm not sure what he does. He basically does the same thing that he used to, which is, you know, he's got kind of a denial feat, and he can kill a lot of infantry himself with Magic Bullet and his two guns, and the only buff that they gave him was, they buffed him in two ways, I guess, but they changed Wield Secrets to Cross Country from... So mm-hmm. it's just you know, gain Pathfinder and Hunter.
Yeah.
So that's sweet. He can ignore cover now, which he couldn't used to be able to do. And then they changed evasive to dodge. So he has dodge now, so he's slightly harder to kill. The only other thing they gave him was battle group Swift Hunter. So he already had Swift Hunter, but his battle group has Swift Hunter. But that's just not very exciting.
Yeah.
So it's like he doesn't do anything to make my beasts hit harder. He speeds them up, but he can speed up a unit in the army, but... Yeah, it's really hard to cast now because the Rune Bearer can't cast that spell anymore. And then he doesn't do anything to, you know, buff damage or reduce the enemy armor. So he's an infantry killer in a game where infantry doesn't exist, really.
Until these theme forces.
Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah, I mean, the future is unknown. So mm-hmm.
Also, that was a rude thing in our Horgul game, was that stupid Rune Bearer. Jesus. I was not expecting, especially because like, I could have killed him on my V turn, and I was like, whatever, he's just a Rune Bearer. Like, he's already casted the one spell. Who cares? And then it was like, spell slave. Like, oh, God. Geez. You know, it's like like a 4-inch, everybody's on fire AoE or whatever it was. Yeah. It was like, this guy's miserable. And then I couldn't kill him anymore because I already kind of blew my load.
Yep. He was just Hadoukening Ulans all day.
Yeah, mistakes were made.
Nice.
Yeah, I do like that. That's a really good spell to Hadouk or to spell slave, too. It's like 10-inch mm-hmm. range. So you can just blast it out there, drift it, get some.
What's the spell?
It's Horgul's Fireball. I don't remember what it's called. It's basically just Fireball. It's Hadouken. It's range 10, pow 12, AoE 3. Everything in the AoE gets lit on fire.
Oh, yeah. It's a solid spell slave.
Yep.
Yeah, it was super tilted.
in an environment or in an edition where there's not much to get excited about for spell slaves, that's a good one.
It's nice, especially because his feet rely, you know, there's so much of his kit that, well, just his feet, I guess, but also the free charges for Warbeast. So much of his kit relies on things being on fire that, yeah, it's just nice to have another model. To possibly also it's like, you know, he can, it's called Consuming Flames is what the spell range 10 AoE 4, sorry, pow 12, models hit, suffer fire.
Yeah, the AoE 4, I thought it was yeah, because I think you got in one of the shots you got like three Ulans, and then I thought you were for sure gonna feat. I was like, ugh.
Yeah,
and then
I should have,
the bomber just came over and killed two anyway, so it's like,
right,
but it was still, it was like really good, and then next turn it was again and then again, and it was like, ugh.
Well, the feat would have mattered because I went way hot on Fury that turn.
Yeah, that's right. You and boosted all your damage rolls.
Yeah, so it would have. I would not have frenzied the next turn, which means my bomber wouldn't have been having like his dick hanging out in the wind.
Hmm.
So it would have been a really big deal. Yeah,
but it made him as just a dink solo. Very like he. Anything I had gained was getting canceled by that guy every turn. I was like, Jesus, that's like a one man band. Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah, the other caster he's really good with is Madrek 2, actually, because Madrek 2 has Eruption now that spell Gorton has. Mm-hmm. It's like a POW 14, remains in play. Everything that enters it takes a POW 14, mm-hmm. and it makes a cloud.
Wow, I said, yeah.
So he could just Kamehameha that every turn.
And if you're thrown out to a turn, it's actually a little bit of table denial.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah. I thought about doing a list that was based around that, but but then it's like, I'm playing Madrek too. I might as well just do the thing that's good.
You're like, I want the infantry to come forward, and I don't want it to die to eruptions.
Exactly. They'll actually just funnel all of their infantry into
the
eruption.
Literally just pile into it, yeah. Let's just get them over with, boys.
No, my fury. Yeah, exactly. So, all right, well, we talked about trolls a lot this week, so I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys? You guys got anything?
I just, all I did was got that one or two games in with the Haley 2 Hurricane, and I, as much as I was like, yeah, this is going to be obviously good, I was right, yeah. that was not hard to predict.
You drove Jim away.
No, I think we're going to be okay. It was actually an interesting game. It's powerhouses. It's Wormwood v. Haley 2.
Yeah.
And I tried something I'm not sure that I would normally do. I probably will not try it again, which is on Wormwood's feet turn, I accelerated up the Stormwall or the Hurricane to within 3 of Megalith to try to shoot him to death. My pre-measurement was slightly off with my Firefly, so I couldn't quite get him there. So I ended up not quite shooting Megalith to death, which is not a great deal.
No.
On my feet turn, and then I feeded, because that's the really nice thing. That's why, this is what I was talking about with the Hurricane, where I lost my train of thought earlier. The reason why it's so good for Haley 2, and why other casters still want the Stormwall, is because that 12-inch range is so often within counterattack range, but it's powerful enough that it can usually take something out, especially if you accelerate. So it's like temporal acceleration, 3 boosted POW 18s, and some like POW 13 shots, plus various other things. I can eliminate a heavy pretty much no problem.
Yeah.
And then, but 12 inches away for a normal caster, like if this was any other caster, is within death range for the Stormwall, or within death range for the Hurricane. But she gets to feet, and then it's safe. So I moved up, didn't kill Megalith and counterfeited, but he was able to Hellmouth Getarix in with Blessed and Curse of Shadows, my guy, and nearly kill the Hurricane in return, which made the game then a lot more complicated for me. But the control elements provided by the Hurricane, just like lobbing out 3 POW 13 3 AoE 4 POW 13s a turn is really strong. Having access to POW 16 or 18 guns is super strong, and obviously access to slam on demand from range is also really good. And randomly, time bombs will fire out of him, and that can surprise people because they forget he's an Arknode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he is so good in Haley 2. I'm not sure what, if any, other casters he's really going to shine with.
That actually really annoys me, because one of the combos that I've been, like, one of the combos that I identified right away when I saw the spoilers for Mark III, months and months ago, was I was like, Bomber Mountain King is going to be a legit combo, because the Mountain King can shoot something and minus 2 its defense and boost a POW 16 on it, and then the Bomber can throw 2 POW 16s and boost both the damage rolls because they're minus 2 defense, and they probably, you know, he probably can hit with that. And so that's 3 boosted POW 16s from, you know, decent range. And if they come into me, then I'm, you know, I've got like melee killing potential too, because they, you know, because of rage and a Mountain King, and they're both mass 6 and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, that's a really sweet combo, you know, 3 POW 16s from range, you know, yeah. But it's like it's a Mountain King and another like really expensive heavy war beast.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get that in one, like,
yep.
So that really frustrates me.
And a lot of the times I don't even have to boost the first hit roll, because I get to see if it hits before I do.
Yeah, because of Haley. And then, yeah, and then if it does hit, you knock him down, and then it's just, like, so it's even better than minus 2 defense. Like, but, yeah, I've been very surprised at how, like, I mean, I guess it's something that I've known for forever, because I've always loved Bombers for this exact reason. But it's just kind of re-falling in love with it. It was just how good POW 16 shooting is. So POW 18, I can only even imagine. But
that often requires a Firefly to die.
Right. But you get to choose when that happens.
Yes.
And if the sacrifice is great enough, then.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you want to put a light between their army and your Colossal anyway.
Sure. But yeah, in both games I've played so far with this Horgul list, I've shot a heavy off the table with just three POW 16s. And that's admittedly rolling hot. But, you know, I played against Andy at War Machine Weekend, and it was like Mountain King, like he rolled bonkers on his damage roll. And then my Bomber hit twice and rolled bonkers on both of his damage rolls, and it was just like, boosh, Phoenix gone. And I did the exact same thing against Nigel. I just like 3 pass 16s just killed a Kodiak. A 3 pass 16s and a 9-man CRA. So, you know, but still.
Yeah, it doesn't take much else, as it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah, I did find the Firefly is fantastic. Like, in my second game against Nigel, the Thunderhead Pulse, everything that I pulsed on was within the Firefly.
Ooh!
And that was really good.
It's really good on, like, Cav.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good.
Yep, that is pretty much all I've got.
Sweet.
Since there, I've not been keeping abreast of like rumors and news, so I don't know if there's anything out floating around out there about the next errata, which is coming up pretty soon.
The errata stuff's been on all the Facebook forums, like it's out there.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Most people don't believe it. It's still like, you know, and we don't even. We're like,
I kind of, I'm not going to lie, I kind of disconnected from social media for a while after
certain recent events,
yeah, in the world.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that was part of the hit was, you know, I haven't been looking at the forums or anything like that either. So
I've actually like, I think the reason why I can even play War Machine now is because I've left all of the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like I can play War Machine now because, like, I don't know, I don't have this like chirping in my ear about like War Machine.
You don't it's have toxic really nice. Sludge dripping down your.
Yeah. Also, I've weirdly become a little bit more positive lately. Like, I don't know if that's like a correlation, but it seems fishy.
It's the old Colin just coming back after you got all the. You basically detoxed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just old sweet Colin.
I don't know. Right? I think I still got a little bit more in me. yeah. I hope they make Cray better.
Yeah.
Like, if they make him even middle of the road, like, I've been looking. Like, Charlie Foster painted my Cray, and I really want to play it. But it's so hard to, like, bring me to play that model.
That might be a fun. That might be a fun segment, like next week or something like that. It's just like we go around Robin and we like basically pick the models that we want the most to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wish list a little bit. It's mm-hmm. it's going to be Christmas soon.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be thematic. Like, yeah, wish list a little bit for.
Yeah, so basically, all I know about the errata, or all I'm hoping for in the errata, is that there's some, because they're talking about rebalancing top five and bottom five. So my fervent hope is just that they really take it to heart that if you nerf. Buff something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just don't, because any faction that gets nothing but nerfs is going to be super salty.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for that, because there's garbage in every faction.
So yep.
Just give them something to be excited about along with the crap. Like, no reason to just poo on people when you don't need to.
Yep. I don't envy them. It's got to be hard, especially with the amount of the, you know, short amount of time. But all right, well, I don't know. I'm relatively satisfied with this sort of rambly battle report filled
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Westworld jerkin episode.
Westworld.
Yeah, listen to the pre-ramble for a lot of splooge. So, yeah, I guess.
Go back in time and support Shadows of Brimstone's Kickstarter.
Yeah, do that. That's been us for episode 290. This has been Chad,
Colin,
and Nigel,
and Keith.
And go ahead and tune in next week, and we'll be back with the usual cast and crew.
Take care, everyone.
All right, bye.
And that's literally the only thing I want to talk about. Yeah. But Collins is like probably the only thing he doesn't want to talk about.
Yeah,
he's tired of me talking about Westworld.
Yeah, have you not seen it either?
Yeah,
Collins, this is perfect. Actually, get closer to the mic while you're. Oh, someone is gonna lose their mind. Yeah, we're super recording.
Oh, holy f-
yeah. Also, don't swear. Yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, it's whatever. It's. I'm editing this week, so. People lose their minds over that chewing noise. I don't get it.
Yeah, sorry. I swear to God, I thought we weren't recording.
I get it because I listen with headphones. If you listen with headphones, is there someone chewing in your ear? It's like so gross.
I listen with headphones too. I just whatever. I don't know. Anyway, I did get a Chromecast because it came with a free 3 months of HBO.
Whoa!
So it's happening soon.
Wait, what's a Chromecast?
It's like a thing you plug into your TV, and then it lets you like if you have a phone that. Like a Google-enabled phone or whatever, you can just like stream right to your TV from your phone.
Nice. Oh,
holy
you
crap.
Basically can use your phone as like a remote and like just stream straight to your TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can like watch Twitch and YouTube like on my phone, on my TV.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? And then it comes with like a bunch of other,
I mean, Nick desperately needs that, so.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty, I mean, it's like $10 off because of Cyber Monday, Black Friday, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And like I said, it came with a free 3 months of HBO, which is basically why I got it, because I'm like, I can watch Westworld in 3 months, probably. You know, and in 3 months it'll be done, right? Like it'll be done. Like
it'll be done next week.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. So now I can just binge it.
Yeah, the last episode is this Sunday.
Oh, perfect. God, it's like arriving like tomorrow. It's gonna be good. Now I just have to find time to watch it because that's like 12 hours of, you know, I gotta find something else on HBO to watch now because I have 3 months to watch.
What, like Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah. I'm kind of out on Game of Thrones.
What?
I love Game of Thrones. It's just a different show than...
I watched the first season, and it was good, and I've heard good things about it, you know, whatever. And but it's just like, I don't know, the story, just kind of George R. R. Martin's just kind of ruined it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I was super duper into the books. I was a huge fan of the books, like mega, mega, like huge fan of the books back in the day. And book one and two and three are excellent, especially book three. It's exceptionally good.
Yeah.
It's just really fun to read. And then every book since then has just been progressively worse, and it's also taken progressively longer. And we've been waiting for like 7 years now, or something like that, for like book six. Mm. And I think he's even stated, like, after he started doing the show, he's just like, yeah, the plot's not going in the direction that I thought it, like, that I wanted it to go in the book. So now it's just like, what is even, like, is he going to keep writing it? Is it going to be the same? Is he going to change the plot, like, change the direction of the plot that he had, like, in the books?
I don't know.
Or is he going to write, like, the original plot that he wanted to, but now his heart's not in it?
I thought that was the goal, right? He was just going to keep going with his plot, and then the show was going to do their thing.
Well, he's, like, doing everything. Like, he's, like, making all the decisions on the show, from what I understand, like, about, like, the plot. Like,
I don't think as of this next season, he's not going to have... They had a meeting. They've had, like, a series of meetings in hotels, and he kind of told them his, like, outline, but he hasn't contributed on the actual writing of it. So they're just, like, literally just doing whatever they want.
Well, he doesn't write the episodes, but the story, like, follows his, what he wants.
Yeah, but, like, when they wrote the season that's coming out next... They had like a series of meetings before, and then they just went to it, and they changed like all. And they basically went nuts and just
They didn't do anything that he wanted.
Like he's not policing it anymore. Like he kind of was steering the ship in the previous season.
He's like George Lucas with Star Wars now.
Exactly. That's like 100%. Yep.
Wait, George Lucas still has anything to do with it?
No,
he tried.
Yeah,
and they were basically like, "Thanks for your input. F you."
Okay, good. Good. Thank God.
Yeah, and then he made a bunch of really weird comments on the internet about
super passive aggressive about it for some reason.
Yeah,
about slavery and he's a weird guy.
It's tough to be a white guy.
So tough, a white billionaire. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. But there's like other shows on there's got to be other shows on HBO, right? That are good?
Yeah, Ballers.
Ballers? Never even heard
of it. The Rock?
The Rock.
The Rock plays an agent, and he has to...
All right, whatever. I'll get 3 months of sweet HBO, and then I'll be out because there's like apparently nothing else.
Eastbound and Down, which is the...
yeah.
And then Vice Principals is pretty good. Both of them are... God, I can't remember his name right now. But he's basically Danny McBride, like literally my favorite human being of all time. So wait, those are his two shows.
I thought Steven Swayze was your favorite human being of all time.
Steven Swayze is...
He's top five.
He's not an anagram. That's he's a combination of Steven Seagal and Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah,
so he's just me. He's like the embodiment of my favorite guys. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'm disappointed because I thought I was on that list, but apparently not.
No. Danny McBride's like my totem animal.
He could still be on the list. He only mentioned the top.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just not the top.
I'm not like maybe top 30. Like
yeah, yeah. You're the epic Haley. You're the epic Haley of people in
Nigel's world.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad. Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing else to talk about, I guess. I'm still playing WoW, hating myself, and also loving myself.
Yeah. I've been playing freaking HOTS, like, ever since that, like, Nexus challenge happened.
Oh, yeah, for the Overwatch skins?
Yeah. Yep. And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Overwatch is amazing. Like,
yeah,
they've made a lot of amazing changes. Like, all of the... Like, one, not being able to spam a character is huge.
Yeah, for competitive matches only, but yeah.
No, it's not competitive. Like, it's just standard quick play.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's really awesome.
You don't have, like, five Bastion?
Yeah.
Like, that, like, terrible?
A few, like, maybe a month ago, I, like, logged in just to, like, oh, I'll play a game, see what it's like, because, like, I still have friends playing. And, like, played a game, and I was just by myself, and I was playing against five Bastions. And I was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like... And then, a week ago or something, when the when that Nexus challenge started, I logged back in, and I was like, oh, this is all amazing, and the arcade is amazing. Like, the arcade, there's now, like, 1v1 battles, and you have your own little, like, it's a little tiny map, and, is it, like, best of seven, or it's, like, I think I had to win six games. It was, like, best of 11 or something like that.
It's not 1v1. It's, like, 3v3,
right? No, it was 1v1. It was a 1v1 mode, and then a 3v3, and then a 5v5 or 6v6 or whatever.
Me and some buddies did the 3v3 mode, and it was, like, it was really, really fun.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
And, like, it's the 1v1 is the same thing. It's just you versus another person.
Yeah.
And they give you the same character. And so it was just like any time I got a character I'm like mildly comfortable with, I'm like, yes, I got it.
Yeah.
If I lose that game, I feel like it's the end of the world. Like, because I played basically my first game, I got it was me versus Winston versus Winston. And I was like, oh, yes, this is awesome. I play Winston all the time.
Terrible.
But it was like it was really awesome because he kept on trying to get away from me. And then I'm pretty good with my jump, so I was just always able to jump right behind him and just keep lightning bolting him. And then eventually he died, and I was like, yeah, awesome. And then his Roadhog was like, boosh, money, I can't lose this game. And then I won again. I was like, oh, so that's just how it works. If I get a comfortable, then it was like I got Tracer, and I was like, oh, crap. And of course I lost. Like, but yeah, it's like you really find out where your comfort zones are. Reinhardt versus Reinhardt, literally the worst thing in the world. We basically sat on opposite sides of like a doorway and just kept on like going in and out of the doorway, like throwing the
fireball.
Yeah, throwing the fireball at each other and obviously missing. And then I was like, all right, screw it. I'm just going to go through the doorway. I just started walking through the doorway. And
you
he's
got
like, oh,
charged.
Now we're going to charge. And then so we both charge. And it's whoever stands up first wins. And I happened to stand up first and I got the first swing. It was amazing.
That sounds amazing.
It was like we spent like a solid minute just going in and out of this doorway.
The 1v1 sounds not great.
I'm gonna
throw
that
out there.
It's amazingly fun.
The 3v3 is like it's incredible. Like it's really good. I mean, it's there was a mode like that in TF2, which you know, surprise, like Overwatch took something that TF2 did and you know improved on it. But it was really really fun. And we were playing a bunch of rounds where we were trying to perfect the you know like it's like tank DPS healer like combo.
Yeah.
And if you're Mercy, it's like when your tank and DPS are alive, like it's so awesome to be Mercy. But like as soon as any of them die, like you're just like, whereas like the other healers can kind of theoretically.
Zenyatta's a beast.
Yeah, he's really good in that mode.
I would always play Roadhog and just try to Try to get him immediately.
Yeah, it's a really good one in that. And, yeah. and we found that Mei is also like really incredibly good in that mode. Just
yeah, she's just so survivable.
Yeah, well, and she just locks someone down. Like if anyone ever gets and yeah, and then she could just ice block and
yep.
yeah,
yeah,
screw her.
Yeah, the Mei fight was pretty miserable.
Oh God.
Yeah, I lost that fight, and I feel pretty bad because that's a comfortable character for me.
Oof.
And so, yeah.
In those fights, how often does someone actually get to ultimate?
Not very. You're normally dead before it happens. But
in the 1v1s, you're not going to be able to. But in the 3v3s, it's pretty common for you to at least one person to be able to charge up. Like
yeah,
that's where Mercy becomes the apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah,
she
no,
can
totally.
Literally
yeah.
bring him back.
Yeah,
and yeah, I didn't actually. I figured the way the game mode would it was, it would probably just make that almost illegal.
Yeah,
that like seems too good.
'Cause she charges up really fast.
Yeah, fairly fast, yeah.
Compared to normal people. Like, if she's healing Reinhardt and he's getting the crap beat out of him, she's
yeah,
like, well,
as long as they're taking damage or the damage dealer's dealing damage.
Well, that's why it's so interesting is because it's, like, best of five. And if you've chosen a team comp and you just, like, smash them with, like, you know, if you're playing, like, Roadhog, Mei, Mercy, and you just smash the other team, like, in the first round, then they have a chance to, like, react. And, like, they can pick whatever. They can change their characters up and they can choose a different matchup for you that might be, like, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like if for instance, like if Mercy just gets sniped like out, then you're just screwed.
Yeah, then
like
they change the.
Yeah, and so it's actually very interesting. Like it's a really really neat game mode.
Hmm.
And there was one time too. Like there's a lot of weird strategies. Like as you're kind of playing in the pub, you know, arena and figuring things out. Like in one time we went up against this team of three, and we're just like running around the map, and we couldn't find them at all. And then it turns out that they just like they were like playing like Bastion Torbjorn, and they just like built a bunker like in their spawning zone. And, like, as soon as we walked near it, we just died. We're just like, okay, that strat's dumb.
Yeah.
And then, like, they obviously did it again. Like, it worked so well that they, like, obviously did it again. But we just all went, like, you know, Junkrat, and we're just, like, lobbing grenades at, like, just killing it. You know, because it's, like, it's just really fun.
Mm. Hmm. Yeah, that game was super fun. And then, like, also they put in, like, if you win for every three games, you get a loot box, up to three loot boxes.
Yeah.
Like, that's genius because there was just, like, I hated that
part.
Tons and
tons of people playing.
I hated that part because you couldn't, like, actually, like, gain any loot boxes other than gaining levels.
Uh-huh.
And so there was no, yeah, I don't know. I really like the actual playing for a loot box.
Right, yeah. So there's more incentive to actually play that, and then you get something for it. That's it's neat. Yeah, I agree. I would like to play more Overwatch. I would love to play more HOTS as well. I just need to play more games. I need more time to play games.
The freaking Blademaster completely brought me back.
Samuro? Yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Oh, my God. I heard that he was broken as F when he first came out.
I mean, I got there right. I didn't even know he came out.
Yeah.
And, like, if I would have known he came out at the very beginning, I would have been, like, so back in.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, like, I caught the tail end of his, like, first 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, immediately bought him and then just went crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Rag, too. He's coming out in, like, a week or two.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be another character I'll spend money on.
Good times. All right, sounds like we're getting Keith in here.
Yep. We got Keith.
Hello?
Can they not hear me?
We can now.
Yeah. I had to unplug you for like half a second and replug you back in.
Gotcha. Have you been playing Heroes, Nick?
That was Colin.
Oh, my God, it was Colin. Yep. Yeah.
Colin, have you been playing some Heroes?
A little bit. Just versus AI, basically, for the Overwatch skins, but...
Oh, yeah. I did that, too.
Yep. But it's like I'm super back end.
I'm waiting for Varian to come down in price so I can get him.
Yeah.
Spencer was telling me he's really good. If you go arms, he just like chunks people.
Yeah, Colossus Smash. I watched Grubby play a couple games with him and it was pretty ridiculous. He just goes, "Brah!" and then somebody dies.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really need to get back into the HOTS. Also, I haven't played at all on the new maps. The StarCraft maps.
They're super awesome.
Yeah.
Like, really awesome.
I've seen them. I've seen streamers playing on them, but I haven't, like, been back.
John's pretty proud of them.
Hashtag DeShazer.
He made those maps? That's awesome.
Nice.
Well done. They look sweet. And they have sweet
fun.
Music.
I like Brax's Holdout, which is the Zerg Rush map, more than I like Nuke Warhead Junction.
Yeah. Because
Warhead Junction is enormous.
Yeah,
and giant, giant maps get... I mean, sometimes they're fun and sometimes they're not.
Oh, that sounds like an awesome map for like Brightwing.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Globals are nice because it is, I think it is the biggest map. It's bigger than Cursed Hollow.
Sweet.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you guys have been playing, I mean, we could talk about Blizzard stuff for a long time, I'm guessing, but you guys have been playing Blood Bowl lately. Is that right? Mm-hmm. You and Nigel?
Yep, just kind of. I got one. Basically, I played one half against Joey. And then just the first half took an hour. And I was like, all right, it's 11 o'clock. I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
But since then, we've gotten quite a few people into the game. And we, Nigel and I have both downloaded Blood Bowl 2 and been playing that on Steam. And it's fantastic. Like, holy crap, it's fantastic.
You're making me want to try it out.
It plays the way it should play. So when you play the board game, you should be able to play a board game in between a half hour and 45 minutes. It's a very fast game.
Yeah.
And the computer, I play in a half hour, and I love it. And you get the full experience. Between games, you get to level up all your guys and spend your SP, your star player points and stuff. It's so fun and rewarding and amazing. Yeah. The problem is it takes a half hour. So
sure.
You feel like you can always get one more game in. Like it's just short enough a window. So like, you know, today I came in like an hour and a half later than I wanted to because I was like, one more. And then I went and took a shower and got out. I'm like, well, it's going to take me at least a half hour to dry off. So one more. And then.
Oh, it's the Civilization problem.
Yeah.
Except Civilization is like, well, turns only take a couple minutes. So I can play four or five turns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only like six turns away from finishing this building. I really
well.
Want.
Also, it leaves you on a turn that's unsatisfying. Like all I really did on that turn was like nothing. So, and I hit generate and waited 6 minutes. So now I got to play to a turn where I got to like, pick a few things, like pick a few new developments to build or whatever, or fight a war. Key, did you have it?
Where are we on Westworld?
No, we haven't talked about it yet. Mostly because you weren't on, and Chad and Colin haven't really seen it.
I'm
yet.
Gonna have to plug my ears and hum a little bit.
But what do you want to talk about?
It's just the show's so good.
It's so good. It's so effing good.
All right, yeah, get it out.
I actually was like, so Colin and Fox watched the first two episodes, and then today Colin was like, it just didn't grab me. Like it, well,
I understand it's a very good show. It's just like it didn't like Stranger Things like make me throw down all the stuff I'm working on.
Yeah,
and like,
but. Yeah, that's what. But like to me, it's not anything against you or anything. It's not. I'm not trying to like. You know, like, you are ridiculous. I'm more just like, that blows my mind. I can't relate to that. Like, it's just, it's so good. Anthony Hopkins just chews up the screen. Bernard chews up the screen. Like,
I mean,
there's not an actor that I don't want to watch.
Anthony Hopkins was on the screen, I watched.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I didn't watch. I heard Anthony Hopkins and I looked up. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely, while there are a lot of good actors in the show, there are definitely some tiers. So it's like tier one is Anthony Hopkins, Ed Harris, and the actor who plays Bernard, whose name I cannot remember right this second. But yeah, those three are
I think
yes,
Teresa is right up there too. She's a very good actress.
Yeah, she was good.
Sure, her character is very understated. She's actually like a female Bernard. She doesn't. They're not asking a lot of her, but
right. But then, like a lot of the host actors are more like you're more average TV actors, but good TV actors. But they're not like.
Well,
I wouldn't come back over and over to watch their stuff.
Like Maeve and Marsden, like if those guys were on TV, like there's not a TV show they wouldn't be annihilating. Like they're that's the cool thing is that everybody on the show is a movie star that's just on a TV show. You know, basically, other than McPoyle, who's amazing. I'm like rooting for him. Like,
oh my god!
Like, how awesome is it to be McPoyle and then get to be on a show with Ed Harris, Ed Harris and Anthony Hopkins? Is he just always on set? Like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Also, I feel like all the milk from what was it, episode one or two?
Yeah,
like where there's just like a ton of people drinking milk. I'm like, why is it like there's McPoyle on the show? Like, what are they doing?
Yep.
I'm not sure. I think he's done other real stuff.
He has, but the McPoyles, it just, yeah.
I mean, you would hope he's done other real stuff, but.
But I'd like to think that the McPoyle reel is what got him the job.
Because he definitely has some. Jeffrey Wright is the actor's name who plays Bernard. What is.
I wonder if the director or, like, whoever was doing the casting calls, like just saw McPoyle. Was like, you know what? Let's cast that guy because we can make him look good. Like, we really nailed it.
It's like, interesting casting choice.
Oh, he was dreadful in House of Cards, but I blame that on his character, not so much him. That's right. He was in House of Cards.
Yeah, House of Cards was terrible, though. I mean,
it is. It got. The first season was like, my God. And then after that, you're just like, what is this?
God damn it.
After they ran out of British material to copy, it just turned awful.
Yep. It basically, like, Anthony Hopkins wrote the first narrative, and then Lee Sizemore wrote the second narrative. For House of Cards would be a good way to describe it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Westworld. Okay, I got it.
Yep.
Got
it. Oh, my God. Yeah. And they just keep getting, like, the pacing's fantastic. So it's 9 episodes in.
Yeah.
Even, like, The Sopranos or Game of Thrones, they're all flawed because, or you know, The Walking Dead is, like, the poster child for this is, like...
Some episodes are bad.
Yeah, because they just, like, literally want to waste your time.
Yeah.
And this is not a single wasted... Not only is there not a wasted episode, there's not a wasted scene, and there's usually not a wasted moment of dialogue. Every
impressive
effing minute is worth watching, and you usually will miss something if you don't. Like, yeah, and they've just
I saw so much on. I've only rewatched once, and I caught so much that was not there before.
Yeah,
when I just rewatched it like 10 times now or something like
that. Yeah, like, Alex, like his mind. We were Colin and Fox were watching it, and we were working in the background, like we could just hear it, and. I was, like, randomly shooting off, like, some of the lines, you know? Like, I just knew what was coming, so I would say it before, you know, Anthony Hopkins would say it or whatever. And I was like, you probably have this all, like, totally memorized. And then I just rattled off, like, the next, like, 4 lines of the episode, like, before they happened. And then they all happened, which is actually super funny because that happens in the show. Like, Maeve will walk up, one of the hosts will walk up to another host, and the hosts don't know, understand that they're, like, all scripted. They don't understand that, you know, they're only saying things because they're programmed to say those things. And so Maeve, one of the ways Maeve will break them is she'll essentially say the next 4 things they're going to say. And so, like, say, you know, that happens in the show, and I was doing it, like, Alex, like, he basically had the same moment.
You broke Alex, basically.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah. That was awesome that those guys were in town, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we don't really have anything else to talk about Westworld except that it's awesome because we can't do spoilers because Colin and I haven't seen it. So
yeah, which is brutal.
And we've been saying that it's awesome for the last like 5 or 6 weeks or however long.
It's going to keep happening. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. That's honestly because I was telling them before you got on that I finally am able to see it. So I'm going to probably start knocking it out in the next week. So
you say you're going to knock it out, but what you really mean is one night you're not going to sleep.
Right. Yes. Yes. Which I'm, you know, that's fine. But we have a podcast that we should do.
Mm-hmm.
If people want, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I have. Keith, have you played any games?
No. Holidays and stuff happened.
Yep.
I mean, I played some Shadows of Brimstone, and I played some... Oh, I kickstarted Shadows of Brimstone. Dude, is this going to come out before that Kickstarter ends? Can I convince more people to put money in so I can get a dragon?
It's coming out in 3 days, so no.
No,
what's Shadow of Brimstone?
Yeah, tell us about it.
Shadows of Brimstone is a... If you ever played Warhammer Quest, it's like a fan-remade Warhammer Quest that they reskinned. Because it's like... They basically did a Marshall and redid the whole game to make it better. And then they're like, man, we put a lot of work into this. We should probably like put a new theme on it and sell it.
Yeah.
So they did. And it's... So it's like a map tile-generated dungeon. And
Super
the theme,
Dungeon Explorer.
Except it's fully cooperative, like Warhammer Quest or
Dark Souls, like, or Super Dungeons.
Descent. Descent is the same way, as far as I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or sometimes it is. I think Descent has modes where you either have a dungeon master or not.
Yep.
Anyway, so it's one of those fully cooperative on a board, and you go into a dungeon, you do the adventure, you get rewards or not, you come back to town, you spend your money to get better gear, rinse, repeat. It's a board game RPG, and it's the theme of it is the Wild West, but they found this mineral called Darkstone, which started appearing, which is very valuable, but it causes mutations and also happens to open portals to other worlds.
I'm intrigued.
And the first one is like a bunch of Cthulhu monsters. So it's Wild West meets fighting Cthulhu is the first one. And then it's Wild West fighting against like swamp monsters and Wild West fighting against possessed people on a spaceship and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Sounds great.
And the new Kickstarter that I backed is for Forbidden Fortress, which is instead of Wild West, it is feudal Japan. So instead of being a lawman or a rancher or a cowboy, now you're a samurai or an assassin or a monk.
Ooh. Oh my God, I'm totally
and
in.
It's This is the hordes to Shadows of Brim to the original game's War Machine. They are fully compatible, just different themed.
Oh,
basically.
My God.
So we can mix and match them all together, and you can have your cowboy fighting alongside a kitsune.
Oh man, I want this so bad.
Yeah,
models are pretty cool. The models are good. They're not exceptional, but they're good. And it's just, it's easy and a lot of fun to play. So we've been
sounds
doing
sweet,
that.
Sweet.
Yeah, we've been doing that once or twice a week. And currently on this Kickstarter, I threw in $300 and we're getting back like $800 worth of retail.
Holy.
Whoa.
Wow. Just in the, like the models and add-ons and stuff?
Yeah, because they how they do it is they release the core and then they release enemy packs and additional item packs and all these other different things, which are like $20, $15, $20, $30 a pop, however much. But with the Kickstarter, you just get it all. So the core game would normally be like $100 and the expansion would normally be $80. And then each little enemy kit would be $20 or $30 or, and each card pack would be $15 or $20. And so for $300, I'm getting $800 worth.
God, they're going to send like a whole truck to your house.
It's going to be quite a bit.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
And it's currently at 915,000.
Are they looking for a million to get the next level? Or
they were looking to get 50,000 to make it go. So it's definitely funded.
I mean, for your dragon or whatever that you're looking for.
Yeah, the dragon's at a million. It's like the biggest boss monster they've ever made. It looks like it's possibly as tall or taller than a colossal.
Wait, when does this end?
I think 2 days.
They should end. Yep, 48 hours.
They should get. Usually, Kickstarters like go crazy like gangbusters in the last like 2 days. So
I'm yeah, looked at it. The last 2 days can often account for as much as 14% of the total amount.
So
I kind of want to be in on this.
Yeah, you have $300 to $300
I mean,
bucks
we could
to
go
drop
on as a team.
Okay. All right. I mean,
there is also you can just pledge the $100 level, which gets you the core and some of the stretch goals instead of the core, the expansion, and all the stretch goals, which is the $300 level.
Yeah.
For it's
you got to go all in.
I want that dragon.
Yeah, you got
to. Keith, I want that dragon.
The dragon looks pretty badass.
I mean, I'm just picturing it in my head, and I want it.
The $100 pledge is currently getting a retail value of about $310. Still doing just fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Sweet. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Sounds like a good way to spend the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Playing games with friends.
Super excited. If we get like lucky beyond all imagining, if it makes it to 1.3 million, which is really unlikely, but then we get the town expansion, and the town expansion is for the core game was sweet because it changed going to town from being like a pretty bland and predictable experience to being like super random and kind of terrifying, but generally pretty awesome. And it created more like town locations. It used to be you go to a town and it's always the same places. It's like a general store, a blacksmith, the outpost, the saloon, like your basic the doctor's office and a church. I think it was exactly those six locations. And then they added on a bunch of cool stuff like an outlaw's, a smuggler's den where you can join, where one of your things you can do in town is like join up with a gang and rob a bank. And they added up like, the sheriff's office and you can go on a manhunt if you're a law character. And they just added a bunch of sweet.
Colin's face is just lighting up.
Yep. So I'm really hoping for that town expansion, but we probably won't get it.
How much or how long does it take? How long is a typical sort of campaign?
To set up and play?
Yeah.
We play, let's see, on Sundays we've got a four-man campaign. We usually get together around four or five and we do either two or three missions and their attendant town stays, because the town stays take about half as long or a third of as long as a mission. So it's like, and we do play for about 4 or 5 to 6 hours.
Oh, wow. So that's a big commitment.
So it's like 2 hours to do a mission and a town stay, roughly.
Yeah.
It can go a little faster, but.
Well, I'm guessing, like, how long would you say, like, the life of a character is? Like, how long does it take to complete sort of a.
We've never gotten to the point where we needed to retire characters, really.
Are there
only.
Go on.
Because you level up, and you can level up, I think by the rules of the game, you can level up to level six, but you can easily stretch to go beyond that if you want. That doesn't get you all of your character's available upgrades.
Are there a set number of missions then, or
there are? But you can always just random and go do a different mission because the maps randomly generate themselves, so you're not going to get the same experience. And the encounters are random, and the enemies are random.
Okay, cool.
So if the basic mission is go find a farmer's daughter who got lost in a mine, you go in the mine, and the first time you like go in the mine, go through three rooms, fight some spiders, fight some undead, fight a giant tentacle monster, and you get the farmer's daughter. And you're like, hooray. And it's like, you roll the same mission again. If you're rolling random, you're like, ah, bummer, same mission. You go in the mine, you go into the first room, you fight some like bog bats, and then you find a portal to another dimension, and you spend the rest of the mission going through alien ruins. It's a different experience.
Yeah, cool. I'm satisfied. I don't know. I've heard enough.
But the core,
pretty cool.
The core comes with 12 missions, and the expansion will come with another 6, and any other additional outworlds usually come with 6. So there's a lot of content. Anyway, it's a great game. That was my infomercial for Shadows of Brimstone, the Kickstarter for which is already over.
Yeah, a day ago. All right, sweet.
Yeah.
All right, let's just jump into a sode.
Let's do it.
What do you guys think? We've been pre-rambling for a half hour.
Enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, these pre-rambles are going to get a lot more exciting when you guys get caught up on Westworld.
Oh, boy. It's just going to be splooge.
All hell's going to break loose. Yeah.
Yeah, Nigel's like spot on his theories for the most part. Although you've got one that I do not buy. I'm not there with you about Ford.
Oh, about Ford. The Ford one's more just it's a narrative possibility. I don't think it's the case either. But
all right, I'm cutting this off.
Well, we're like, are you just trying to figure out what episode we're on, or you were like doing your phone? I didn't know if you were like.
No, I'm just trying to look at the stuff that we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hello, and okay, take two.